another great weekend right here, right now on Computer Talk with Dave Mason. And now, your host for Computer Talk, here's Dave Mason.
And welcome back, America, the second hour of Computer Talk with Dave Mason, border to border, coast to coast, and galaxy wide, your home of common sense technology. You can join us here live at the Computer Talk Bunkers studios at 866-821-8255. That's 866-821-TALK. Still one of the best toll-free numbers in talk radio.
It is, but I'm not sure if I describe it as a studio. This is more
what
of
are
a,
you saying?
No, it's more.
What are you saying?
Well, it's like it's more like a.
See, the thing about radio is that you use descriptive words to create an illusion.
A lie.
So what I would say is this is an incredibly airy, big, open, sterile.
Lying. No, but there's I mean, we have to be efficient.
Studio.
We have to be efficient in the bunker. We can't have, because this, you know, sure we have enough. We have plenty of space, but
right.
When you're doing things.
You can't have stuff laying all over the place.
No, you have to have.
You got to have it. You got to have it piled strategically.
Right. There's
you can step over it.
There's a reasoning behind how things are laid out in the bunker. And I wouldn't say it's a studio. It's more of a. What would you call it?
Storage room.
Yes.
Garbage can.
It's like a storage facility that happens to have radio broadcasting communication.
And sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between what is trash and what is storage what is useful.
Well, and it's that decoy option that we're employing there.
Yeah.
If someone,
break in somehow, get past this.
Yeah.
Get past the security doors, get past the
dogs,
get past the cameras and the alarms. They would kill themselves getting in here.
Well, yeah, not only that, but once
they
got in
here,
what
to take.
Yeah, they couldn't figure out what's good and what's not. And how to get it out.
Yeah.
Because we do, sometimes we do have those, and I probably shouldn't say this.
Okay.
But we do have those guided tours.
Yeah, we do.
For certain special people, friends and family.
They're guided.
Never
be
yeah.
able to find their way back
out. You have
out.
To guide me sometimes in this tour to get back to my seat.
Exhale.
Exactly. Come through. Watch the beam. Duck your head over here. But it works out great. I feel comfortable.
It's a fit.
Yes, it is.
866-821-8255. 866-821-TALK. You know, we've talked for years about hard drives. They ain't made like they used to. And it is true. Several years ago now, it's amazing how time flies. It seems like 2006, 2007 was just, you know, yesterday. Of course, it's more than half a decade ago now. Google did a report, really. And there were stories made about it, about Google's experience with hard drives and their reliability. Their failure rates, the environments, you know, the factors in failure. It was a very good story. It was one of the first that had been done. It's interesting how hard drive manufacturers just really don't like providing any data in terms of their reliability and just how much you can count on them in daily use. You know, it's funny, you got mean time between failure rates of these things in their specifications, you know, 7200 RPM, 8 meg cache, blah, 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 SATA 3, SATA 300,000 hours mean time between failure. Right. 300,000 hours. I think that's something like 25 years. Well, one of the things in that Google story that was very interesting is that they were able to define pretty well the failure rate factors. And what was interesting about it is they weren't able to define any failure rate factors. It didn't seem too important what the temperatures were like. Now, there were extremes that could cause problems, but temperatures didn't seem to matter much, which is certainly counterintuitive. And I still would not, I still would not be comfortable with just having drives be whatever temperature. You know, I'd want to have a case and I'd want to have fans that kept them within reasonable tolerances. But heat didn't seem to matter much. Length of service didn't seem to matter much. Intensity of use didn't seem to matter much. It was a really strange sort of deal where they just kind of said, you know what, they just kind of fail whenever they fail, and we can't really discern much of a difference in terms of how they're used. No data since then, really. Been quite some time now, and drives have changed a lot since then. I mean, at that time, a terabyte drive was a big deal. In fact, 06, 07, I'm not even sure they were out. I think they were, as I look back now. But they were a big deal. Well, now terabyte drives are nothing. You can buy a terabyte drive in a 3.5-inch portable USB 3.0 case for about $80. But the failure rates, we still have. One of the big omissions from the Google thing, and I don't think it was a Google report, and I don't think it was a... I don't think it was an accident, is no data on what drives had a higher failure rate. And then a company called Backblaze, or Blackbase, if you're dyslexic, came out a month or so ago with a failure rate over time report in their experience. They're a online backup company, has a lot of drives in service, and in their experience, interesting over the years, the failure rates just in general with hard drives, 5.1, they defined three specific phases of failure for hard drives. First phase was a year and a half, was 5.1% annual failure rate. Pretty consistent. Second phase was from 18 months to 3 years, 1.4% failure rate. And it's interesting because my experience is very similar. Now, I couldn't quantify it 1.4 versus 5.1, but I could tell you that the first phase, the failure rate's relatively high. In that first, you know, when drives are brand new, people think, brand new drives, they're not going to fail at a high rate. So that's actually a relatively high failure rate. That second phase, in my experience also, relatively low failure rate. Once they get past a year and a half, they're probably going to be around a little while. But then things ramp up dramatically from the third to the fourth year, 11.8% failure rate. So even brand new drives have a fairly high failure rate, pretty low the next year and a half, the second year and a half of their life, pretty low failure rate, less than 2%, and then up to nearly 12% in the fourth year. And that corresponds almost exactly with my experience with drives. Now, what's interesting is that's not a lot of detail. Information expressed as a failure rate over time, important. But again, begs the question, which drives? Are they all the same? We'll find out when we come back after this.
Hang on. More Computer Talk with Dave Mason on the way. Right after I put these two in timeout.
Hey guys, this is Evil Steve, the evil one, back again, here to talk to you about Dr. Dave's data recovery. First of all, Dr. Dave and I would like to thank you for another great year of Dr. Dave's data recovery service. It's been outstanding. We all know how important it is to back up your data. But if you didn't back up your data, and those important documents, or even more important, precious family pictures, are stuck on a dead drive somewhere, well, there is a way to get them unstuck, and it's called Dr. Dave's Data Recovery. From hard drives to floppy disks, thumb drives, flashcards, you name it, we can do it. First step, go to DaveMason.com, click on the Dr. Dave's Data Recovery button, and you'll find all the info you need right there. Dr. Dave will get your drive and do his Dr. Dave magic as usual, and get your precious data back to you safe and sound. So do the smart thing. Let Dr. Dave's Data Recovery come to your rescue. That's Dr. Dave's Data Recovery at DaveMason.com.
I've just discovered one of the most important new tools for security and privacy on the Internet today.
Hey, Dr. Dave here. ID-Vault looks like a military-grade USB memory stick, but it's much more. It stores all your usernames and passwords, and you don't have to worry about the remnants left on your PC after online banking. ID-Vault prevents you from signing into phishing sites that steal your identity and your money. It automatically signs you into your online financial accounts with ID-Vault SecureView. It automatically enters your credit card information when you shop online, so your credit card is safe from hackers and even keystroke loggers. Here's how it works. ID-Vault encrypts your account passwords on a smart card microchip inside a tamper-proof USB device where the criminals can't get at them. Best of all, it's economical and easier and faster to use than usernames and passwords. Anyone who surfs the net needs their ID-Vault. So get yours at IDVault.com today and save $10. That's IDVault.com. Tell them you heard it here on Computer Talk with Dave Mason. You've done everything you're supposed to do to protect yourself from identity theft, the fastest growing crime in America, but nothing's perfect, so how can you guarantee that your identity won't be stolen? Hi, this is Dr. Dave, host of Computer Talk with Dave Mason. LifeLock is the answer. Listen to what LifeLock CEO Todd Davis told me recently on my show.
The idea that you're going to hide your information clearly doesn't work. Let's go tell those criminals we're going to take control again. I'm not going to live in fear. I'm going to surf the web. I'm going to bank online. I'm going to shop online. I'm going to take advantage of technology without worrying about looking over my shoulder about who's going to steal my identity or what damage they're going to do to it. I'll back up every client we have at LifeLock with that $1 million guarantee.
There you go. You can stop worrying about identity theft because the folks at LifeLock have got your back. LifeLock, real identity theft protection with an astonishing $1 million guarantee. Go get LifeLock today at LifeLock.com or call 877-LIFELOCK. That's 877-543-3562. Tell Todd Davis, Dr. Dave sent you.